The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us now hear the beautiful music of the gospel. Let us hear the words spoken in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Listen for the word of God. Then someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. The man said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor thy mother and father. Also, you should love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I have kept all of these. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you wish to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me. When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Creator, Heavenly Father, let the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. Shield me behind the cross so that your words speak to your people. Help us to listen. Amen. This series that we have been indulging in, the Loving Generous series, as Kathy had mentioned, talks about a different way that we are to look at our relationships, another way that we can live and love generously. We're talking about how we are with one another, but also how our relationships are with things. Now, relationships permeate our lives, and so often we act like and talk like the people that are around us. Have you noticed that? We are around similar people that talk like us, act like us, think like us. But God wants to change that. God wants to challenge us. He wants us to get out of our relational comfort zone. And that's what this series, Loving Generously, is all about. God wants us to see people, love people, and interact with people just like his son Jesus did, and use the things that we have been given to bless others. Now, this series solidifies who we are as a church in hopes that we can clearly hear God's call upon us. Last week, we watched the Donovans as they gave a benefit for the soup kitchen. They held a fundraiser, and Cassie and Frank invited some people who normally don't come to these benefits. They invited the people from the soup kitchen to this special banquet. Well, that created an uproar. That made some people feel uncomfortable. However, as Pastor Eliezer talked last week, it asked us to be mindful of who we are inviting to our banquet. Who are we inviting? Did you all do your homework last week? Did you invite someone to the table? Didn't think I'd check up on you, did I? I'm a good teacher, I will. We also heard the story of how Julie and Tom were benefactors of the soup kitchen, and Julie just lost her apartment. She was kicked out of her apartment and had no place to stay. So Cassie said, "Hey, Julie, you know what? Come and stay with us. We have extra room." And that's where we left off. So let us this week pick up on the story to see what happens.
I didn't realize how long it'd been since we'd used this room. We'll get the cleaners to come by tomorrow.
No, please don't do that. I can clean it.
And we'll get some new furniture this weekend, as long as you don't mind using the little bed until then.
Oh, please, that's great. Honestly, I'd really rather you didn't buy new furniture just for me.
Well, at least let me look around the house and find some stuff that we're not using. I know it's only temporary, but I want it to feel like home.
Sure.
Great. Come on. It'll be fun.
All right. You're not addressing the ball properly.
How exactly should I address it? Your Majesty?
Flattery never hurts.
If you're serious about learning this game, I would not be listening to this man.
Hey. Ray, this is Mark Silva. Mark and his wife are some of our first friends here at the club.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Yeah, that was crazy last night, wasn't it? We thought the club had double booked the room or something.
Yeah, it was a little hectic at first, but I thought it turned out great. Did you meet anybody interesting?
Yeah. If you can't go to the circus, just bring the circus to you, right?
That was a little awkward.
Maybe he just needs a little help learning a new stroke. In the meantime, we should really try to get all the circus clowns back together again sometime.
Okay, that was all sand, right?
Okay. It's a start.
I didn't realize I was checking into the Hilton.
Please. I could make a pile 10 times this size just with stuff we haven't used in years. You know that verse that says if you want to be perfect, sell everything and give it to the poor? Some days that sounds so perfect to me.
Well, thank you for letting me use some of it for a little while.
Hey, what's this?
That, my dear, is exactly what I'm talking about. That's a watch winder.
A what?
A watch winder. You put your watch in there and it keeps it wound.
Isn't that what a battery's for?
Not if you have a fancy watch that doesn't use a battery. Then you have to wind it manually.
So this is...
To keep you from winding it manually.
Well, I don't think I'll be needing that.
Trust me, neither do we. What is it that they say? The stuff you own ends up owning you? Hopefully we're a little better about how we spend our money. Our time, on the other hand.
Hey, Mom, I'm going over to Drew's.
Hey, Evan, I want you to meet... Oh.
You know, in my neighborhood, if we have stuff we don't need, we just have a yard sale.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, imagine how that would go over with the neighbors.
Hey, have you seen Evan? Oh, hey, Julia.
Hi.
Oh, wow, I forgot about all this stuff down here.
Hey.
Hey.
You know how we're always talking about simplifying?
Yeah?
Julia just had a really interesting idea.
Hey, buddy, what you got there?
Hey, how much is that?
Let me see. It says 75, but I don't know how to get it out of here. Would you do 30?
Also, the monkey comes off if you don't need a lamp or...
You need more? Got a pair.
Yes, that looks nice.
Well, I guess Victoria's not in the shopping mood.
Well, look who's having another party.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. What's going on here?
A yard sale. We're trying to downsize a little.
You're welcome to take a look around. We can cut you a special deal.
Are those some of the same people from the soup kitchen again?
Yeah. Oh, you mean the circus?
Allison, hey.
Hey.
You want to meet Julia?
Sure. Oh, sweetie. I don't think that's such a good idea. I mean, they have company.
Are you sure you guys don't want to stay for a while?
Well, we do need to get together, but maybe when things aren't as crazy for you guys. So, hey, good luck with your yard sale.
Okay, this is the last of it right here.
Well, Frank, you didn't sell all your possessions, but it's a start.
Good. Give it to the soup kitchen.
Hey, Mom, what do you want me to do with this?
Oh, please don't tell me that didn't sell.
No.
Great.
Hey, so my mom said she got kicked out of your apartment or something.
Megan.
No, it's okay. It wasn't really my apartment.
What do you mean?
I made some really bad choices when I was your age. And... then I made some worse choices to deal with my earlier mistakes. There was a man who said if I worked for him and did what he asked me to do, he would give me a place to stay and take care of me.
So why'd he kick you out?
Because I met the most wonderful man in the world. Thomas over there, he helped me find a way out from doing what I was doing. It didn't make this other man very happy. He says I owe him a lot of money and he's getting aggressive. So your parents gave me a place to live so he can't keep bothering me.
I'm really sorry.
Thank you.
As much as Soup Kitchen appreciates it, I think we're going to have to turn down this particular donation.
Looks like we're going to have to find some other use for those funds. Thomas, can I talk to you for a second?
Perfect day, Frank. Perfect day.
I don't think I have to say very much about that video and all that it implies, all of the undertones that we can take away from watching that clip this week. But I'm a good United Methodist pastor, so you know I've got something to say about it. This week's video is very interesting because it's a conversation about relationships and money. Today's gospel passage that we read in Matthew is about a man who had many possessions, just like Frank and Cassie. But one wonders, like Cassie did, is it really about the possessions owning them? Did that affect the relational life? The truth is, money and relationships have something in common, and that is that they are within the human heart, and in the human heart, we assign value to them. In our relationships, there are people that we value, that we treasure. And when there are those who we'd rather not have in our lives, we do not value or treasure them. Same thing runs true with things. We value and treasure things. But unlike this paperclip, I don't value it. I don't treasure it. So I'm going to put it to his side because I really don't care about it. We almost got that undertone from Frank and Cassie's neighbors. The same things can be true about our possessions, just as our relationships. We can also take them for granted. Now, Jesus understands our hearts and how we assign worth to things and relationships. And often, where there is a generosity for the heart and generosity for the relationship, there are generosities for the resources. Think about it. If someone you love or in your family is in need, you will find a way to help that person, right? How about someone you didn't know? Would the resources be there for you? The same thing is true with things. If there is no value in the relationship or revalue with our attachment, then our resources are coincidentally limited. Now, business and financial experts will tell you that money itself, as an object, is not real. Money's just a piece of paper. That money, that piece of paper, is a shared agreement, a note among people that isn't worth the money that it's printed on. Sometimes we agree upon how money is used, and it makes sense. But other times, it doesn't make sense how we use this resource. For example, how can a second baseman batting 198, making $5 million a year, and there can be a school teacher that makes less than what that baseball player makes in one day? You see, it doesn't make any sense. There is brokenness on the way that we value things. The way we place value on things is unhealthy. And in today's message, it's all about attachments. Our gospel lesson, there's a man who comes to Jesus and asks, what good deeds can he do to gain eternal life? He wants to know, what can he do to feel completeness? There's a void. He wants it filled. How can he fill this void? Jesus knew right away the man was going to struggle. Jesus knew that the man would have trouble surrendering his whole heart. To answer the man, Jesus tells him, keep the commandments. And when the man says, but Lord, I've done all that, Jesus says, well, if you want to be perfect, and the word that is used is teleos, which in the Greek means complete. If you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, if you want the sense of wholeness, then you're going to have to make some changes in your life. heaven forbid, when someone tells us that we're going to have to make a change. It throws us out of sync. Jesus tells this man that in order for him to feel complete, that he was going to need to do three things. Remember what they were? First, Jesus told him that you need to give. You need to release all of your possessions, sell them, and get rid of them. He tells the man that you have to let stuff go because you don't own these things. These things own you, just like we heard Cassie in the video. This is the only Bible passage in the Bible where Jesus tells someone that they need to sell all their things. Secondly, Jesus says to the man, you must serve the poor. Now, in a sense, Jesus is saying, you need to change your perspective on people and relationships. You need to get into a different relationship with these people, not just serving the poor to say you serve the poor. Serve the poor. You have to serve them. You have to give to them. What needs to be done is you need to make them more important than you want to. Frank was feeling those feelings at the end of our video. He heard the need and he wanted to serve Julia more. And then Jesus offers a third thing to the man, the offer of a lifetime. He says, Jesus says, after you do these things, come, follow me. Come and follow me. Jesus is asking this guy to be the 13th disciple. How awesome is that? What would you do if Jesus came to you and said, come, be my 13th disciple? How excited would you be? I'd be pumped. But then again, I love my Jesus. It's like the baker's dozen that we get at the bakery. The baker's dozen is 13 donuts, not 12. That free donut is amazing. It leaves a lasting impression on me. I know, I've got a problem with food. But I'll let it go if I can be the 13th disciple. Amen? Amen. We learn from this interaction that this man has in our passage that the problem isn't what he's doing in the world. It's not that he's not good enough. He's keeping the commandments. He's doing what he's told. The problem is what the world is doing inside of him. He can't attach himself to God because he's given his heart to something else. If he does not let go of the things that he thinks are treasures, then he cannot fully give himself to God. Ultimately, the man walks away from Jesus because he is not willing to let go of his money, his possessions. He'd rather keep them. Now, of course, we can look at this passage in hindsight bias. We know the story. We know who this guy is talking to. But that's not always the case. In reality, we don't know when Jesus is going to show up or where Jesus is. Is he sitting next to you? Dun, dun, dun. Is he beside you? Is he around you? Is he in your heart? Where is Jesus? We are being given in this passage an invitation, just like the rich man. We are being asked to serve, to give, and to follow Jesus with our whole hearts. Are you willing to simplify? Are you willing to simplify in order to give? What must you do in order to do so? For the man in the passage, there was a roadblock, and it was money. What's your roadblock? What is keeping you? What is keeping you from God's will? There are plenty of opportunities. We have one next week. We're literally having a yard sale. How can you help? Brothers and sisters, don't be like the rich man and choose to walk away. Choose to let it go. Let go of the worldly possessions. Reevaluate your relationships. Reconnect. This week, I want us to think of the things that we own. They don't have to be material possessions, but think of the things that you possess. Do we own them, or do they own us? Do we own our material belongings? Do we own our feelings and our emotions? Or do those emotions, feelings, and material possessions own us? Here's the good news. When you don't have anything, nothing has you. Let me say that again. When you don't have anything, when you've got nothing to lose, nothing has you. Nothing can control you. It's okay. It's a paradox. The Bible is full of paradox. The gospel has tons of paradoxes. In dying, we live. In losing, we give. In giving, we gain. It doesn't make sense. Friends, I found out that none of this stuff makes sense. But you know what? It's not for me to understand. It's for me to follow and to trust and to let it go. This week, I want you to go out there and make an honest assessment of your possessions. Scriptures tell us that everything we have is a gift. Our gifts aren't necessarily material things. What do you possess that can bless others? Is it a watch winder? Is it an hour of time? Is it the gift of singing a song to someone who is down and out? Is it a bag of clothes that you could give to a homeless shelter? Could someone use your skill sets, whatever they might be? Could someone use your prayers? What has God given you in the storehouse of your life to share with others? Will you choose to follow Jesus and let it go? May it be so. Amen.